Well, in the end, everybody wants to be involved in helping people survive disaster, and people could feel very exasperated that there is, year upon year, no result. Whereas the advantage of the data revolution is that it attracts a whole raft of people. No one of us can do all this on our own anymore. And the great thing about data and this revolution of how you get data to support knowing what's going on, getting a common understanding, getting a sense of trust that we have common facts, and then people can make decisions. How can I best play my part to really help the relief of suffering? Yeah. And above all, then sew in the way we can sustain that. Not only are we helping people survive, yeah, but thrive.
You know what's tough about data is it's hard to visualize. But we are in a totally new era now, right? We think about humanitarian response. Mm-hmm. A company like Ericsson is very engaged in it. What does it look like to bring technology into humanitarian response to have a more data-driven approach?
I think that going back to the participation revolution, yeah, but also thinking about the question you asked, I mean, yeah, we have to work on so many different levels. Ericsson, we've been working with humanitarian response on the ground for 15 years. Our first partner in this was OCHA, still a partner today, in looking at how to bring in mobile communication to empower the whole humanitarian community. When we look at more sophisticated uses of data, 15 years ago it was SMSs, today there's a whole array of data possibilities on the menu for humanitarian response.
Sure.
And here I think there's a lot of work to be done in our industry. I can just refer to one initiative I know you have been involved as well, which is the GSMA Association trying to bring together the whole mobile industry, companies like Ericsson, but the mobile operators who are very local in different markets.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that's like level two. And then I think that the third level is really coming up to the World Economic Forum, the UN systems, in talking about what would be effective policy. How do you use data? Because you have this amazing opportunity to do things more efficiently, more effectively. But we also have challenges. We need to protect privacy. We need to have secure networks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the excitement is that we are trying to build a sense of confidence and trust that data, which, of course, there are always going to be people who feel that that could be manipulated and could not be used in favor of their interests, but rather by institutions or even governments against their interests. And it's very important, particularly to the United Nations, where we have an obligation to be neutral, impartial, independent, to find these protocols, find these ways. And whilst it always sounds a bit technical, in the end, this is about there's so much data being generated. Rather than let it go to waste, let's try and capture it in ways which is going to really be useful to people who are affected by crisis through no fault of their own. Data has this amazing ability, of course, not to be at risk like fellow human beings are as we try, very brave aid workers, to reach people. So there's this added advantage. This is a new medium which is also safer for human beings.
Is this participation revolution starting to happen? Are there examples where we can say a humanitarian response is really listening to the people on the ground, that they are connected, they have the ability to influence the response and the goods and services they get?
I think it's a little bit more the vision. I mean, again, depending on what level of connectivity you have. I mean, we know today there's more than 7 billion mobile subscriptions in the world, but that doesn't mean that it's proportionately distributed.
Sure.
So there's still 4 billion people that actually lack access to internet. So that's another challenge. But I think in some parts of the world, you can have very effective real-time information coming, data being generated by citizens on the ground and feeding back into the system. I think that's the future, but that doesn't always happen today.
Yeah, we're using this word revolution a lot, but I think it's the right word because the humanitarian sector is both undergoing one and needs to undergo one, right?
Yeah,
I mean, the scale of tragedy and crisis is growing and more people are affected, and yet the resources are limited.
The complexity is what's really grown
up.
The advantage of using these technologies, which are now available primarily in the private sector, and finding that we're partnering with the scale that the public sector brings. So it's not just that the private sector can't be expected to bring the whole of the resource. They bring the technologies, their expertise, their experience, their networks, their ability to communicate and to know how to regulate that in a way which helps control these privacy concerns and so forth. But at the same time, in the end, it's going to be big country monies that support big organizations like the UN, but also others, to work together very well, very efficiently, but to deliver. It's easy in natural disasters to see how this works, and it already is working. So in that, we're already making a lot of progress. It's far more complex. About 130 million people need the humanitarians around the world today, 93 million are at risk of death in a very short order. Mm. So we need about $22 billion just to meet immediate needs. This is all about how do you mitigate that rate of increase and how do you make sure that we're doing the right preventive measures as well as meeting immediate needs. And that's where, in conflict, we need to find a way of making sure this retains its neutrality and independence and doesn't get caught up in what otherwise can be very politicized. The data does have a real opportunity to make facts our friends. And if we can show the facts and have data well managed, then we have a much greater ability to get past what inevitably is a very difficult set of partialities that tends to get in the way of humanitarian relief because people are in conflicts and they take a side over the other.